Okay, good morning, gentlemen. We begin the next chapter, Yud Ches. And you should have those booklets, that last booklet from the Parshos V'Sifra Nevi'im ready. We're going to start on page Kuf Ayin Beis. Right? Should have that. Do one pasuk. Bayomim Ayin. Oops, I'm sorry. I'm looking at Shoftim. That's not going to help. Let's try it again. Vayikohalu kol adas b'nei Yisrael shiloi. And the entire congregation of the Jewish people gathered up to Shiloh. Vayashkinu shom es oihol moyed. And they erected or caused to rest there the ohel moyed, the tent of meeting. And the land was conquered before them. So, there's a lot to talk about, because what are we talking about? The land is conquered before them, and as a matter of fact, the next pasuk it says the opposite, so to speak, and they're left over amongst the Jews that had not divided up their land, seven tribes. So we'll see what that's all about later. But right now, what we want to talk about is Shiloh. The topic of today is Shiloh. The Mishkan in Shiloh is today's topic. Okay? And there's a lot to talk about, what its significance is. For those of you who have a map, any one of your maps, hopefully, colored map, definitely, look carefully in the colored map. The green colorings of Ephraim, you'll notice about in the middle of Ephraim, a little bit to the right, you'll see a big dot that says Shiloh. See that? Got another map if you want. Again, this is the Goyish map, but still, it looks pretty. Right. Do you have this one? Never got this one. Gave this out months ago. Okay. So the green over there, you see Shiloh's right there. You see that? Right? See Shiloh? You see Ephraim, the green shaved Ephraim in the middle of the map?
Over the M.
Right, so just over the M of Ephraim, yes, you got Shiloh. All right, keep that in mind, and also keep in mind the purple coloring of Binyamin, which is directly below. Okay, those are the two things that are important for us to recall at this time. Okay, because it'll make everything a little bit easier to understand. So it appears that clearly Shiloh is in Shevet Ephraim, which is north of Shevet Binyamin. Okay, just keep that little bit of information in mind. It will help us understand what we're going to do over here. Okay, so look into the booklet of the Parshos B'Sifra Nevi'im, which I don't know if there's any other copies lying around. We gave out a whole bunch of copies. I don't know. Lots of trouble keeping copies. They don't stay on the table. They just kind of move around. Okay. So, Ran Kuf Ayin Beis, a little bit more than halfway down, after the Pasuk that was mentioned. Okay, we got that? Okay, so he asks, Mosai Zahayon, when was this? Yeah, you got some? Okay, so does Sam have one? You can give Sam a copy. It should be a couple pages, no? It should say Kuf Ayin Beis, Kuf Ayin Gimel. Okay? So we're below the bold lines, right after it's the bigger bold lines, and then the smaller bold lines, and then it says, Mosai Zehoyo, when was this? Veheichan Hoyo Oil Moed, and where was this Oil Moed? Asher Shishchinu B'Shilo, which was built in Shiloh. So he brings them the Sefer Seder Olam Rabba, which is sort of a history book. It says, Arba Esrei Shana Sha'as Yisrael BeGilgal. There are 14 years where the Jewish people had the Mishkan in Gilgal. That was the first place we were at. That was right by the Jordan River. Hein Sheva Shekashfu V'Sheva Shechelku. It was the 7 years of conquest and the 7 years of division. V'acharkein, and then, so now we're getting a timing over here. V'yikalu Koladas B'nei Yisrael Shiloh. The Jewish people gathered together in Shiloh. Right, so that's, we're talking at the, just about the end of the 14 years of conquest and division. At that time, they began to make the countings for the giving of Meiser, the counting of the seven Shemitah years, the 50 Yovel years, all the mitzvahs of the land of Eretz Yisrael begin to take effect. Obviously, they couldn't do that while they're still fighting wars and not having the land divided. But now that it's being divided, we can do this. Okay, now, what does that mean? After 14 years of conquest and division, the Jewish people were obliged in all the mitzvahs that depend on the land. And this is all brought to you in Sefer Dvarim. Kikach nemer b'Torah, it says in the Torah, v'hoya ki savo el ha'aretz, will be when you come to the land, asher Hashem elokecha noisin l'chan anachala, that Hashem gives you for anachala, for an inheritance, v'yirashta v'yashavta bo, you will inherit the land and you will live in the land. And that is Parshas Kisavo, right? Parshas Kisavo talks about the whole mitzvah of Vidui Maestros, where you, after you've given 3-year cycle of Maestros, you confess to Hashem that you did all the mitzvahs you were supposed to do in terms of the tithes and all those things. So that all those mitzvahs apply. and the rabbis explain, the Gra explains, what does it mean, V'yarashta? What does it mean, and you inherit? Ha'aretz nich b'shalif nechem. The land is conquered before you. What does that mean? Hainu rov ha'aretz nichvasha. Most of the land was conquered. Why? Because the Vilna Gaon explains, ki achar misas Yeshua kavshu shar aretz. Because after the death of Yeshua, then the rest of the land was conquered. Because they didn't totally conquer it, but they conquered a good chunk of it. V'yashavtava, the pasuk says, you will live in the land. The truth is, as the Vilna Gaon explains, Chamisha Shvatim Kvar Nispar Nachlosom. 5 tribes were already clarified their Nachala. Let's see where we're at to this point. We have the 2.5 tribes on the East Bank, Yehuda, and then the rest of Shevet Yosef, which includes the other half of Menashe, and Ephraim. So you got Reuven, Gad, all of Ephraim, all of Menashe, and Yehuda. Those 5 tribes already have received. We've learned that. Umakam hashchanas oil maid b'shilo hayikfar besoch nachosam umuvares shel shevet Ephraim, and the resting place of the oil maid in Shilo was already in the territory of Ephraim. So already have that. Oh, so l'sham b'chiraso for that choice, dai hoya, it's enough, as the Torah says, ba'achad shvatech, in one of your tribes. Because this is what it says in the Sifri. He's going to quote in the small print, earlier in Sefer Dvarim Perek Yud Beis, there's a lot of wording over here, and basically Perek Yud Beis in Sefer Dvarim talk about the whole idea that the Jewish people have to bring all, when we come to a place of rest for the Shekhinah, then all the private bamos are not allowed. There were certain times in Jewish history where you could build a mizbech in your backyard and bring korbanos. It's called a bama, a high place. And at certain times, yes, certain times, not. And it depends during what times they were. And that's what it says in the beginning of this 12th parak. It talks about the whole idea that these are the laws you have to, when you come to the land, you have to destroy all the idols, etc., etc. And we'll see shortly, he quotes 2 psukim. Kasav Echad Amar, 1 pasuk says, "V'makom asher yivchar Hashem, in the place where Hashem chooses." In other words, the preface of that is where it's saying you're going to come to the place where Hashem's going to decide where the Mishkan's going to be. That's where you're going to bring all your korbanos, etc., etc. That's where you're going to go for yontif. That's where you're going to rejoice. And it says when Hashem picks that place, you got to be careful. You can't go anywhere else. You can't make your own private bama. And that's what it says. The pasuk in Yudalit says, "Ki b'makom asher yivchar Hashem," but only in the place that Hashem chose. Be'achat shvatecha, in one of your tribes, shom tal alosecha. There you'll bring the korban oila, and there you'll do what I tell you to do. And that's the pasuk he quotes here. It's a sifri. Be'achat shvatecha. One pasuk says, "In the land from one of your tribes," but then earlier, 7 psukim earlier it says, 9 psukim earlier it says, because of Echad, when 1 pasuk says, Hamakom asher yivchar Hashem elokecha, the place where Hashem will choose, mikol shivtechem, from all your tribes. So is it from one tribe or from all your tribes? So he explains, at the end of the Sivri, Dabaracha, what does it mean? Me'echash v'decha, from one of your tribes, Zu Shiloh, this is the Mishkan of Shiloh, because it was in one of your tribes. Umikol Shivtechem, from all of your tribes, Zu Yerushalayim, that's a reference to Shalayim, which really belonged to everybody. So we see there's a lot of hinting going on to two holy places, Shiloh and Yerushalayim. Umiyata, now, Nichnasu Mitzvah Sa'aris Gamli Skeris Minyashayim, and now the Mitzvah of the land now begins to take effect in terms of the counting of the years, where it says there in Perek Yudalit in Sefer Dvarim, really, Sefer Dvarim is Mamish the whole Sefer Eretz Yisrael. So it says there, Perek Yudalit Pasuk Chav Ches, when it talks about giving Miser and all those things, and then it says at the end of the 3 years, at the end of 3 years, you should take out every tithe of your crop in the year and set it down within your cities, etc., etc. So that's what it says. Mikzei shalashanim le'inyan maser sheni ubir maseres. The whole concept of getting the second tithe and making sure you don't have any maseres in your home. And then it says also b'shana shvi shabbos shabbos in yilaris, and the 7th year is a rest for the land. It's giving different psukim throughout the Torah. Leading Shashmit about Shmita, and then talks about Sfarat Lucha Sheva Shabbat Shem, then he counts 7 sets of 7 years, leading Shnas Hayov for Yovel. All this begins when? When we enter the land and we have some degree of rest. And that's what's happening now. Tkufas Ha'iriyuyus, Be'eretz Nimra. The temporary era in the land has begun. Yisrael Netuyim Atta V'Kfiyas Be'eretz Kedusha. The Jewish people now are implanted with a degree of permanence in the Holy Land. That's what's significant of this event now, that we are now starting the Mishkan in Shiloh. Veheichan hi Shiloh. Where is Shiloh exactly? Where is it exactly? So this is not such a simple thing. And you'll see, this is, although it's going to be a little bit technical for a few minutes, but it will end up with a very beautiful piece. By the time we're done, we'll have a very nice piece. So just hang on. All right. But it's very technical here. So where is Shiloh? So I just show you the map there. So is Shiloh there. It's not so pusher at all. Not so pushy. L'chura makoma you do. On the one hand, you'd say it's obvious. Ki pasuk, there's a pasuk in Shoiftim that says, Mitzayin lanu bediuk mir b'yestiro. It gives significant detail as to where it is. It talks about over there, Hinei chag Hashem b'Shiloh miyamim yamim. Well, there's a holiday in Shiloh from time to time. Also, bear in mind, keep in mind, we're going to point out to you later, how do you spell the word Shiloh? Shin Lamed Hey. What did you just look, if you're following right inside? Look where your pen is, Mikey. What does it say there? Shin Lamed Vav. But you were right. On the top it said Shin Lamed Hey. So what is it? How do you read it? Shin Lamed Hey, Shin Lamed Vav. Okay, we'll discuss that later. It seems to be two writings for the word Shiloh. By the way, again, we come to another. We already told you the origin of the word Salem, right? Salem is from Shalem, which is what Yerushalayim is first called. And Shiloh, right, is Shiloh. Right? All these southern or northeastern names of places, these Baptist cities, Christian strongholds, these are all Jewish names, right? So, you know, Shiloh is Shiloh, that's for sure. All right, so anyway, so it gives you a complete description. Asher mitzvona la base kale, which is north of base kale. Okay, which is north of base kale. Mizrach ha-shemesh l'mesilo ol mi-base kale shchema. It's on the east side of the highway that goes from base kale to Shchem. U-mineg Lavona, and south of Lavona. So it's a pretty clear description of where that is, and we'll see further about this. And clearly, if you know where Beis Kel is, you know where Shechem is. It's between Shechem and Beis Kel, with Shechem being north of that. And there's a highway over there. So it's east of the highway, south of Beis Kel, and rather north of Beis Kel and south of Shechem. Yeah, so that's where you'll pot it. Now, where's Shechem? Annapolis, right? That's where everything's split up, right? It's in the Ephraim area. All right, Ephraim, Manasseh, yeah, Shechem, just at the border there, into Manasseh, but it's going to be south of that. You have Beis Kel. Look where Beis Kel is. Again, this map is not so accurate, but at least gives you, it's right at the tip of Binyamin. but it's between Beis Kel and Shechem. So it's again in Ephraim. It's in Shevet Ephraim. Okay, it's in Shevet Ephraim. So that seems to be obvious. That's where it is. That's what it's talking about, Beis Kel. Alright. And after it was destroyed, in the times of Eli HaKoyin, it was destroyed then. But he knew about it. The prophet Jeremiah talks about it. To teach him a lesson why it was destroyed. He says, come to my place which was in Shiloh, where I let my name dwell in the beginning. Okay, fine. However, but still, it's not so pashut. Why is it not so pashut? And this is where it gets interesting. Our rabbis had a Messiah, had a tradition. And traditions mean that's what it is. The divine presence in Eretz Yisrael only rested in the tribe of Binyamin. Veshilo Hayadua, but the well-known Shilo, Hoysa Menachla Shevet Ephraim, is in the tribe of Ephraim. That's where the problems begin. And you go even today, where the settlers have settled in Shilo, what's his name? Ira lives in Shilo, right? Shilo is in Shevet Ephraim. Okay, Shilo's in Shevet Ephraim. You go out of Shilo, there's a yeshiva there, and they have. Yeshiva is replicated after the Mishkan and Shiloh, right? So it's in Shevet Ephraim. But we have a tradition that's in Binyamin. Now again, Binyamin and Ephraim are border tribes. So let's see. Let's see what's going on over here. So now is a long little piece that we'll go through. It's a Gemara in Zvachim in the small print. Kiyasa Rav Dimi says, Bishloisha or Barba Makoyma Shor Shechina Shechol. The Shechina rested. He says four places in for the Jewish people, different times. Bishilo, Vinov, Vigivon, Ubeis Olamim. In Shiloh, and Nov, and in Givon. You learn about Nov and Givon in the book of Shoftim. And Beis Olamim means the eternal place, which is Yerushalayim. Ubekulam lo shars el b'chel Binyamin. And on all of them, God's presence only dwelt in the tribe of Binyamin. Again, we already explained the specialness of Binyamin. He was the only one, tribe who didn't bow down to Esav. He was the only one not involved in the sale of Yosef. He was the peaceful guy. And that's the only place the Shechina could rest. All right? Shenemar, and the Pasuk in Devarim says, Chofei Volav Kalayom, he covers him at all times. The Shechina. Kol Chafifas, all the coverings of Hashem, Lo Yiyal B'chel Goshem Binyamin. Gemara explains, it was only in the tribe of Binyamin. So now there's a problem. There's a problem. But that, see, you have a tradition. Says, and the tradition says, this is it. It can't be anywhere else. The Shechina can only be in the tribe of Binyamin. That's a tradition. But now they argue about the facts. There's tradition and there's facts. Also, Abaye comes along. Amr Kabeda Rilm, he speaks for Yosef. Amr says, but there's Tzukim and Tehillim, it says, Vaksiv, Vayitosh Mishkan Shiloh. It says, Hashem, he forsook the Mishkan from Shiloh, etc., etc. Again, you see a vav over there. Uksiv, and in that same parak in Tehillim, that whole subject, Vayimo'es bo Yosef, he despised the tent of Yosef, who b'shevet Ephraim lo bachar, no longer chose the tribe of Ephraim, so where's that telling you Shiloh is in? Ephraim, under Yosef's territory. So it's telling you the Mishkan Shiloh is in Ephraim. Clear. So Amar Avada. So Ravada says, what's your problem? Micah Kashlech, why you have such a kasher? What do we know about the Beis HaMikdash? We already went through the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Where was the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim? Only in Binyamin? A little bit in Yehuda too, remember? There was a little bit of Yehuda, a little bit of Binyamin. And the Sanhedrin was where? In whose part? Eastern side of the temple was Yehuda. But the Mizbeach and West on was in Binyamin. So he says, well, you had that for the Beis HaMikdash. Why can't we have that for the Mishkan Shiloh too? That's what he's going to say. Ma'ika Kashle, Dilma Shechina B'chelek Binyamin. Maybe the divine presence was in Binyamin's part. The Sanhedrin and the Supreme Court was B'chelek Yosef. It wasn't a portion of Yosef. Kidash Shemasino Basalamin, like you find by the Beis Hamikdash. Shechina Bechelik Ben Yamin, the Shechina is in the tribe of Ben Yamin, the Sanhedrin Bechelik Yehuda, and the Sanhedrin was in the Chelik Yehuda. That's a possible answer, yeah? There's a problem with that. Amalei says, wait a minute, Hochi Ashta, what are you talking about? Hasam Mikarva Nachlas Gabi Dari. There the tribes were very close to each other. Right? It was mamish on the border. Yerushalayim was mamish the border of Yerushalayim, of Yehuda and Binyamin. But Hochabit here, me Mikarvin, are they close? Shiloh is not close to the boundary of Binyamin as your map suggests. So what are you going to answer? Just think. What would be a possible answer? No. Okay. Well,
Shiloh could have been a city of Binyamin within Ephraim, just like the entire tribe of Shimon is inside Yehuda.
Okay, that's an interesting guess. That's a good guess, but that's not what they say. It's a good guess though. So Omri, he says, Hachinami Makarvin, they also were close. Kiramah Rabbi Chaim Rachanina, like Rabbi Chaim Rachanina says, Ritzuya Haisi Yitzas Michalka Shal Yehuda, just like we know, there's a little strip that came out from the tribe of Yehuda, Vechneses Lechalka Shal Binyamin, and it went into the tribe of Binyamin by Yerushalayim. Bahayim Yisbech Bon, and that's where the Yisbech was built. Vay Binyamin Atzadik Mesarlav Labala, and Binyamin was always upset that Yehuda got a little strip into part of the area of the Beis HaMikdash. Haganami here too, Ritzui Haisa Yitzas Mechalka Shal Yosef Lechalka Shal Binyamin. There's a strip that went from the tribe of Yosef into the tribe of Binyamin. Others have a different gear, so they say it's really a strip from Binyamin into, it's a little complicated. Some say a strip from Binyamin went into Yosef. Either way, behind the scene, and that's what it says in later, earlier in Sefer Yeshua, when we're talking about the tribe of Ephraim, it calls a place called Ta'anas Shiloh. Ta'anas Shiloh. And let me give you the whole pasuk. I'll read you the pasuk. It says, and the border went out toward the west to a place called Michmesos on the north, and the border turned about eastward towards a place called Ta'anas Shiloh. Ta'anas Shiloh. And passed over on the east of Yonocha. So there's a place called Ta'anas Shiloh, and that's the border of Ephraim. And it's called, and Rashi brings down, why is it called? He brings in a bracket, Ta'anas Shiloh, because Binyamin was misonein, was lamenting over it. He was complaining over it. So it seems that there was a strip of Binyamin that went right into Ephraim. So now, let's put it all together, next to the regular print. So he says, Lo bichti diktechu chazal b'psukim. The rabbis, you know, it's not for no reason. They're so meticulous in the psukim. Ubikshu lahatim es samasoratam l'metzias hageographies. They wanted to align the tradition to the geography, to the geographic realities. So Shiloh nizkara ki'ir gvul nachas Ephraim. Shiloh is mentioned as a city in the boundary of the portion of Ephraim. Umeirich, by the other hand, yadu chazal shebin yamin zocha v'shkina shersa rak v'chalko. The Binyamin merited that the divine presence was only in his portion. Ulachain therefore he migilam askan. They come to the conclusion which is, the city of Shiloh and the Sanhedrin that was next to it and the Mizbeach to the Mizbeach was in the tribe of Ephraim. There was a strip that went into Binyamin or the reverse Binyamin into there. Aval Mishkan Shiloh, but the Mishkan itself of Shiloh Asma Hoya Benachas Binyamin was in the tribe of Binyamin. And because of that strip, right, that Binyamin was complaining about, so therefore it was also referred to as Ta'anas Shiloh, the lamenting of Shiloh, that Binyamin was upset about. So it comes out that there was a finger of one tribe into the other. It's a machlokas, which tribe fingered into the other one. But they did have, you know, normally, you know, Shiloh is very far away from the regular border of Binyamin, but one little spot of Binyamin shot all the way up into that area, and that now became a border, and part of Shiloh was the Sanhedrin, and the maybe the broader population was in the northern Shiloh, And the essential Mishkan, where the divine presence was, is in the southern Shiloh, which was Binyamin's portion. And therefore they call the northern one Ta'anas Shiloh, the lament of Shiloh. That Binyamin is upset that any part of Shiloh, any part of a holy city, is not in their area. That seems to be the gist of what's going on over here. Yeah?
I can understand sort of politically how Yehuda could sort of grab a piece of Binyamin. But how does Binyamin grab a piece of...
That's the way Hashem divided up the land.
So just by the lot.
That's the lot. The lot said there's a... It goes into that. We've seen already by Menashe that they had some cities by Asher and other ones. So it wasn't exactly 100%, you know, but somehow, and I had a whole bunch of maps, but they're so confusing, you know. The maps that people make, as sometimes I wish why they make them, because you know, I was going to show it to you guys, but I was looking at it, and I said, you know what, it's even more complicated the way they make the maps. It doesn't clarify anything for you. So... But clearly, when you look at any typical map, Shiloh is clearly in Ephraim, and Binyamin's border, you know, basically is not there. So there is some kind of strip of Binyamin, a very narrow strip that goes all the way up there. Okay, we'll see how this becomes very significant shortly. So that's an important thing to realize.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
In the Torah, does it talk about Shiloh in the Torah?
Yes, there's one reference to Shiloh in the Torah. Do you know where that might be? It's kind of those psukim nobody looks at. See right now. It's Parshas Vayechi. Okay, any guesses now? The blessings of Yaakov. When he blesses Yehuda. We'll have to see where this fits in now, where he talks about how he is going to be the leader. And says, "Well, Yasser Shevet Yehuda, the staff will not leave Yehuda. Mechokek Bein Raglav, and the scholars from beneath his feet. Ad Kiyavo Shiloh, until Shiloh arrives. Velo Yikasamim, and his will be an assemblage of nations." There's a reference to Shiloh, which right now seems to be a little bit difficult because Shiloh is now talking about Yehuda's thing. So we'll have to see. But there is a reference to Shiloh. And by the way, Shiloh over there is spelled with a hey. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see. Okay, anyway, so there, that is the only reference of Shiloh. But there's subtle references all over the place. And that's what the next little piece is going to show you. That Chazal clearly knew that Shiloh was referenced, even though the name wasn't said. But there's an understanding of Shiloh in Sefer Dvarim, which is coming up right now. Kate said Nivchor Shiloh. So how was Shiloh chosen? How do they know that Shiloh's the spot? So Kfar Kavu B'Torah, it's already been established in the Torah. Again, back to that Dvarim, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Hey, that's an important Perek. Ubir Chazal B'Sifri, and the rabbis in the Sifri, Medrash, says, you know, Darosh Umotze, you know, seek and you will find. I skipped important four words. L'shichno tidrishu ubasa shama. That's the pasuk. Dvarim Yud Beis pasuk hey. When it talks that you will enter the land of Eretz Yisrael, you'll destroy all the idols, everything there. You can't bring offerings wherever you want. Ki imel amokam asher yivchar Hashem. But the place that Hashem chooses from all the tribes to put His name there. L'shichno tidrishu ubasa shama. You shall seek out His presence and come there. L'shichno, for His presence, tidrishu, you'll seek it out. You have to look and find where God's presence is, ubasa shama, and come there. What does it mean, seek out God's presence and come there? So it says, the rabbis explain the Sifri, drosh umaltze, seek it out and you'll find it. V'yachach yom elchanavi, and then ask the Navi, and he'll confirm it with you. Im Cain, what comes out? Mekoidim first, yesh lidrishas ha-psukim. You have to search out the psukim kidei limso samokim to find the place. If it's from the text, somehow you'll be able, if you're a real scholar, you'll be able to deduce from the text where the holiness should be. V'achrish yirmatzos, and after you think you found it, Yomalach Navi, the prophet will tell you, if you are able to be in line with the understanding of Hashem in your searching. The Navi will say if you're right or not. Upasat Mataber Gam Beshilo Gam Yerushalayim. And this psukim of searching for the place is talking about Shiloh and Yerushalayim. Kamosh Amar Shamas, it says in the Gemara in Zvachim, it talks about the psukim. You have not yet come El HaMenuchav El HaNachala. In Pasuk Tes, it says you can't do it like now. Like now, you guys can do whatever you want. You could bring an offering in your backyard, build a mizbech in your backyard. Because kilavasamata, you haven't reached until now to the menucha, to the rest, and the nachala, and the inheritance which Hashem is giving to you. So why do you have a double expression of menucha and nachala? So this is the famous chazal. Menucha zu shilo, menucha is shilo, and nachala zu Yerushalayim. You have not yet come to these places. When you come to these places of menucha, of rest, and of an inheritance and a heritage, then all the private bamos are prohibited. And in the bracket, he gives a little simon, very nice. Simon l'shit is a little hint. Menucha, what is menucha? Rest, he's shalva. Shalva is the Hebrew word for tranquility. Now, shalva has what letters? Shilo. Remes Hashem, Shilo. It's got all the letters. Spell Shilo, Shin Lamed Vav, Shin Lamed Hey. Shalva has both writings of Shilo. And now that we said there were, you know, there seems to be two Shilos. I think you're getting the drift of what's going to happen now. There's two Shilos. One Shilo is spelled with a hey, and one Shilo is spelled with a vav. And together it's Shalva. And Shalva means tranquility. Right? And the truth is, the Jews had reached a certain stage of tranquility after the first initial conquest, where the land was a bit tranquil now. Enough for the central region, at least. Nachala, that's the word Shalva. You have not reached the Shalva. When you reach the Shalva, it's tranquility, which has the word Shiloh in it with both spellings. Right? And Nachala, what's Nachala? Nachala is an inheritance. He Yerusha, that's Yerusha. Nachala, a portion, means Yerusha. Yerusha is inheritance. No, what word has the word Yerusha in it? Remes Hashem Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is from Yerusha. So that's the hint in the Psukim to know when you get to these places, you cannot have any more private offerings. So, we don't know exactly which pasuk they looked and how they exactly determined that this location of land that's going to be called Shiloh is this place. We don't know exactly the Ketadosh, how they investigated it. That the Shekhinah would be in this place. The rabbis didn't tell us. Ah, but look at the bottom. Like, how it would be Shiloh, that Shiloh was the place. I mean, Shiloh already had this name. So on the bottom, he brings down from the Eben Ezer that pasuk that I mentioned to you, Joby, Ad Kiyavo Shiloh, until Shiloh comes. So some interpret that to mean the ear Shiloh, and they translate Yavok as Uva Hashemesh, as the sun sets, as the sun comes. Until the end of Shiloh. In other words, there seems to be some reference to Shiloh as the hint in the pasuk, until you come to Shiloh, close to Shiloh, whatever. So Shiloh would be the place where the divine presence would be. Anyway, we're not exactly sure which pasuk Yehoshua was investigating, but you have to investigate. Next side of the page. Anyway, it's clear. Yeshua is the one. He was the scholar and the prophet at the same time, who said Shiloh's the spot. And now the Shekhinah would be in Shiloh. So it was always divinely ordained that Shiloh was a holy place, and that's where the Mishkan should rest. And Yeshua, through his searching through the text and using his prophetic abilities to confirm it, he says, this is the spot where the holiness is. Clearly, Shiloh is West Bank territories. There's no shaila about it. No shaila about Shiloh. It's clearly West Bank territories that the government would love to give away. Would love to give away. That's clearly Shiloh is. No matter where you're going to say it is, Binyamin, Ephraim. Right now, it is smack in where the territories that the Arabs want and that the Israeli government would be more than happy to give away. Okay? However, what's important to realize is Amnam lo shursa shav shechina el shah. But the shechina dwelt there only l'shah, which literally means temporarily. And this is not, as the Torah references, as menuchasi adayad, my eternal resting place. That's Yerushalayim. Now, how temporary was Shiloh? Aval shazu, this little hour, this temporary time, orcho, lasted shalosh meos shishim v'teisha shana, 369 years. The Mishkan was in Shiloh for 369 years. The time of Shoftim was a long time. It was almost 400 years. Was Shiloh? It was almost 400. It was again. I always have trouble with this. It was 480 years from when Jews left Mitzrayim till the Beis Hamikdash was built. 480 years. Okay, so take off 40 for being in the desert. That's 440. Take off 40 for the reign of David. That's 400. Take off a couple of years for Shaul, 2 years or so. A couple of years for Shlomo's first couple of years till it was built. So about 395, whatever. Then take off 14 years where he had Gilgal, right? That's already about 380. And then you'll see there's a little bit of Nov and Givon. So it's that kufa of the Shoftim was about 380 years. So it was 369 years is the period of Shoftim. See, Yeshua is just 28 years. Shoftim was a long time. And for almost the entire time, the Mishkan was in Shiloh. This is not a small part of our Jewish history. It's not like, you know, okay, Gilgal, okay, 14 years. Okay, 14 years. And the Shekhinah really wasn't there because the Ark kept getting, taken apart and this and that. But 369 years, that's almost as long as the Beis HaMikdash stood. Beis HaMikdash stood 410 years and then 420 years. It's a long time. So that's a very important spot. Right. So that's how long it was there. Let's keep reading. It was only about 40 years less than the first temple, which is 410 years. That's what it says. Vayeshkinu sham. What did we say in our pasuk we just did today? Vayeshkinu sham es ohel moed. They caused to rest there, and they built the ohel moed, the tent of meeting. Imken comes out. This was the tent that Moshe set up in the desert, crushing Yerios Aleihem with boards and the Yerios, those curtains. And Asaf in Tehillim nicknamed this Mishkan Ohel Shachain Ba'adam, the Ohel, the tent that dwelt amongst people. And again, the Ohel Yosef, the tent of Yosef. So what was this place called? A tent. Ohel Moed, an Ohel. Ohel in biblical terminology is not a building, it's an Ohel, it's a tent. It's a tent. Temporary. Meirach, on the other hand, you look and say for Shoftim, Kina Hanavi Mishkan Zeh, the Navi calls it a bias, because it's called Beis Elohim B'Shiloh, the house of God in Shiloh. And then in Shmuel Aleph, Beis Hashem Shiloh. So what's going on? Is it a house or is it a tent? That's a big problem. Ha-Ketzatz, the Gemara, the Mishnah Zvachim says, what was it? Was it a house? Was it a tent? It says, Bo L'Shiloh, they came to Shiloh, Lo Yasham Tikra, there was no roof. It was a house of brick on the bottom, v'yirias milamala, and there were curtains on the top, and this was the menucha, and this was the resting place. Gemara says it was a combination of both. In other words, as opposed to the Mishkan in the desert, and the Mishkan in Gilgal, that was strictly a temporary structure, and had no brick at all, and was something that we'd taken apart on a regular basis. And as opposed to the temple in Yerushalayim that was all brick, with a roof and everything, Shiloh was an in-between stage, where there was a brick foundation, there was a lot of brick, but the top was a curtain roof. So that makes it a temporary. It's sort of permanent and sort of temporary, a combination of both. And that's what he now brings a nice mashal. He says, mashal ma davar domer, what can we compare this to? Lada mahalach v'derech likras matara niskava b'yoser. Person's going on the road, and he has a very lofty goal he's trying to reach, a very special destination. V'kashal asigim, it's very hard to get to that destination. It's a long, tiring trip. Ki rechok adayim, it's very far away. Haderech adayin en eslula, path is not yet clear. V'yu ba'od aliyos v'yoser, it's going to be ups and downs, hills and valleys. Isn't he trying to find a little resting place in the middle of this long journey? To rest from the tribulations of the path, of the travels. When he takes a little rest, he can evaluate his trip, how far it's gone so far, to see how much more to go. And that's what this Mishkan really is, and this is what the Jewish people's journey is. It's journeying, the ultimate journey in the desert, was an ultimate journey to come to Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim was a long journey away. It would be a long time till they finally come to that final resting place. So we need to have a place in the middle, in between, that we can take a little rest from this long journey, that we can make it to the final journeying place. And that's what it says in Tehillim. Ki bachar Hashem b'tzion, because Hashem chose Tzion, Yerushalayim. Evil Emoshevlo, he has desired it for his habitation. Zos menuchos yariat, that's my eternal resting place. Poe shev ki yosef, this is where I'm going to stay forever. So he's saying, that's the pasuk in Tehillim. So he's saying, Ashros hashchina areyat, the shchina staying forever, tia ba'asit b'tzion, eventually in Zion. For Akshol Melech yuchol lahachris kabalolam, and Shlomo Melech can call this the eternal place. We can skip the next few psukim, it just quotes those psukim, next paragraph. Ulam atarazu rechogedam, but that goal is very far away. Adasher, because it takes until when, as it says to Sefer Dvarim, until haniach lechem mikol oyvechem isaviv, until I give you rest from all the enemies around you. V'yeshavtam betachem, you're really living securely. And that has not yet happened. That doesn't happen way until David HaMelech kills out all the plishtim and really gets the, finishes the conquest in the times of David HaMelech. And then in his son's tenure, we could have a Beis HaMikdash. Ubeina time, and in the interim, last paragraph, Tzrichim Yisrael Mokha Menucha, we need a resting place in the interim. L'mokha Asher Mucha and Lios Makrim Bar Karbanos Chagim Alav Shosh Par Mishanah. A place, as the Rambam says, where we can bring Karbanos and come three times a year. We need a place to be. And Gilgal isn't going to cut it. Ki Beis Yisrael, the house of Yisrael, Achari Shekib Lutar Resina after Resina Tzor Tzene, turn the page, Hinam Kedosh, they're holy people. Ruuim Shi'iya Bahem Mikdash. They should have a Mikdash Lashra Shkina Benitzteim, that the Shkina should dwell amongst them. Uchein Tzivat Chil Atvara Mishkan Shilo Beis Pesocham Mikudash Shishmal. He said that that initial Mishkan should be a little bit of a house as well. So it comes out that this was like an interim stage. That's what the next paragraph says. Welcome to say, yeah, Bais will be a house. Shiyasodas of Avonim, that the foundation is brick. Ain't old metal to the whole could be made Mesus Hamidbar. We're not going to keep taking it apart and going on like we travel in the desert or like we did during the 14 years of the wars. El Meusa Barasagosh, it's sunken in the land. Ulam, all you saw that's using to know. It's not the eternal place. Hagag, the roof, which is a Shlomas Abinyan, the finalizing the structure. Adayin Chos, it's missing. Finally, the rest is only curtains. It's an oil, it's a tent. Why? You have not come to the ultimate inheritance, which is Yerushalayim. So this is now a temporary place, but we will see tomorrow that this temporary place was really an unbelievable place. And that's what we're going to see tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem.